types real quick and hopefully get a chance to get through many of them tonight. John chapter 8, verse 32 and verse 36. John chapter 8 does not say the same thing as Romans 8. So let me get over there. John 8. All right. All right, read with me together, John 8, 32 and 36. Here we go. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Father, bless the next moments that we have together, Lord, as we discuss some of the things that resemble or parallel from Exodus into the New Testament, Lord, that we may understand more about the typologies that are here in the Christian life. And I pray that, Lord, you might speak to our hearts, Lord, like only you can tonight, and give us the understanding that we need to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We've gone over the left side of your outline already on the particulars there, and now we're at the bottom left-hand side where it says types of the Christian life. And what we're looking at here is finding areas in the New Testament that resemble the Old Testament. By the way, are there many things in the Old Testament that resemble the New Testament? Yes, there are. And by the way, a good portion, if not the majority, of the New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. Many of those things are, and we're going to look at some of those tonight. We looked at last week, number one, custody. The Egyptian bondage is a type of Christian bondage to sin. And were they held against their will? Was Egypt held against their will? Yes. The difference is, are we held against our will to sin? No. We're volunteers. That's scary. They had to be held against their will, the Egyptian bondage, and it's a type of Christian bondage to sin. The difference is we can break free if we desire, and that's a blessing. Number two is conqueror, Moses as deliverer, and we have type of Christ as Savior. So Moses was a type of Christ. What did Moses do that Jesus did that resembles that? He let them free. Amen. He showed them the way. By the way, did all of Israel have to go? They didn't have to go. What was the alternative? Do we have to go and follow Jesus Christ to be saved? To be saved, yes. But I mean, but do we have to get saved? No. What's the alternative? Go to hell, stay in our sins and pay for our sins. That's the alternative. So everybody did not have to go out with Moses. By the way, did some non-Moseses, did some non-Jews go out, did some non-Jews or non-Israelites go out as well with them? Yes, a mixed multitude. So some non-Jews went out or non-Moseses went out, amen. Now, if Moses was the deliverer, would you say that he was the way out? Yes, he was. And what did Jesus say in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the only way the Israelites were getting out, was there another deliverer? Moses was the only one. There was nobody else that came in there and said, hey, let my people go. Moses was the only one. So he was the only way out. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the only one that can deliver us the same way Moses did. So there's a parallel there as type, as a Christ, as the type of Christ as Savior. Moses is deliverer there. Amen. Let's go to number three there at the top there. The cutting from Egypt. It's a type of abandonment of the old sinful life. So they cut away from Israel, or they cut away from Egypt, I should say, and came out of there. So when you look at that one, number three, cutting or the exodus from Egypt, parallel in the New Testament, it's a type of abandonment of the old sinful life. Now, by the way, when we get saved, do we have to live the same way that we did before? When the Jews came out of Egypt, did they have to live the same way as they did before? Who did they not have over them? Egyptian Pharaoh, taskmaster, someone making them do this type of a labor. And so they came out as this exodus. And when you and I come out, it's a type of abandonment of our old sinful life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, who can quote that? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? New creature, old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are what? Become new. Was it a brand new frontier as they came out of Exodus, came out of Egypt and came into the new land? Was it a brand new frontier for them? Brand new. Brand new. They were 40 years in there, over 400 years in this bondage, and they had come out. Many of them had never been outside of Egypt. Think about it. Are you going to let your slaves go outside Egypt? What's the danger? They're not going to come back. That's why he said, let my people what? Go, that they may serve me. They don't get a vacation. They don't get a break. Do you give your slaves a break? Let's use Tasha. Tasha's got a dog. Do you put Champion on break and take him on vacation? Say, all right, Champion, that's it. You don't have to bark. You don't have to be a dog. Go on vacation. Go. See ya. Take 2 weeks off. No. That you don't do that to dogs. You don't give slaves time off. They're not going to come back. How many of you ever had a dog that got out and never came back? Amen. I had one too. Got out and I never saw him again. I went out and bought all this stuff for him. And I thought, he's gone. Now, and he didn't come back. And now I got all this stuff. I got another dog to take the stuff now. Amen. And so the abandonment of the old sinful life, then they were coming out and they had to leave. They go over to Romans chapter number 6 because it really talks a lot about that. Romans chapter 6. So as the Exodus, they cut away from Egypt and now they were going into a new type of life. And it was an abandonment of the old sinful life. Romans chapter 6. And notice what verse number 4 says down there. 6 and verse number 4. He says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Then come down to verse number 11. We read this during baptism all the time. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto what? Unto sin. So they, in their minds, were dead to Egypt. They didn't have to listen to Pharaoh. They had to listen to the taskmasters. They didn't have to listen to anybody that was telling them what to do. When you and I get saved, we don't have to listen to the devil anymore, and we have power to refuse. Praise God. Hey, they were empowered as they came out of Egypt and went into the promised land. Now, did they still have someone over them? Who'd they have over them now? God, but who was the one that they could see? Moses. So they went out of this bondage, but they went into this blessing of liberty. But I still got somebody over me. Hey, folks, when we get saved, and this is what a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm got saved here. I came over here. I'm in Christ, and I'm a new creature. Everything's free. I don't have to obey any rules. I can do whatever I want to do. Is that right? The old man will get you in trouble quicker than you can shake a stick. The flesh will get you in trouble quicker than you can shake a stick if you don't obey anybody. You've got to obey the word of God because that is true liberty. And ye shall know the what? The truth and what? And the truth shall set you free. Amen. Now, if I know the truth and still don't do the truth, guess what? I'm still not free. But if I do the truth, I'm set free. Praise God for that. Verse number 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. They were dead to Pharaoh, but alive unto who? God through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore what? Reign or rule in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. He said, you don't have to obey sin anymore like you used to when you were in Egypt, when you were in the flesh, when you were unsaved. You don't have to obey that anymore. You're new now. Amen. And so when you look at this parallel here, this is a very, very good parallel. The cutting or the exodus, the exodus from Egypt. Type of abandonment of the old sinful life. But in number 4, I like number 4. Christ the Passover Lamb. Amen. By the way, how many of y'all know any Jews or people that celebrate like the Jews? Amen. Right before Easter is what? Passover. And guess what? Many of them still do. Passover. They still have the Passover. And they don't do it like they did it in the Old Testament because they don't have everything that's there, but they still have a type of ceremony. Do we need to do that every year? No, we don't. Is it okay if you do it? Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's not going to hurt you. I mean, they ate some good stuff. I mean, how many of y'all like lamb? They had roast lamb, amen. So if you like roast lamb and bitter herbs like they had and some flat matzo bread, amen, hey, you got it going on, amen. But you don't have to do that. But then in the Old Testament, the Passover lamb was celebrated. But then here, type of Christ, the Lamb of God. Go over to John chapter 1. John chapter number 1 and verse number 29. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus Christ when he came on the scene. John chapter number 1. And verse number 29. And notice what he says here. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold who? The Lamb of God, which does what? Take away the sin of the world. When they sacrificed the lamb in the Old Testament and put the blood over the door, what was that to represent? Covered by the blood, and the death angel did what? Passed over them. Now we've got the Lamb of God. Do we need to shed this blood anymore?
No.
Why do we shed Jesus' blood? Why did Jesus shed his blood, and why not a lamb, a regular lamb? Cover everyone's sin. Okay, gee. Why do we have to do Jesus' blood? Why not a lamb blood? He was the Lamb of God. That's true. His blood was perfect. That's true. Jamelli? Atonement for sin. What was the penalty that was laid out? As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so if one man sinned, guess who's got to get it back? A lamb? Was it the lamb's fault? Did he do something wrong? No, Mary had a little lamb. Hey, leave the lamb alone. Amen. Lamb ain't got nothing to do with it. Hey, but this was a temporary thing looking forward to the time when Jesus would come, because if man sinned, man's got to get it all back. And Jesus Christ was the man God. Or the God-man, however you want to look at it. 100% God, 100% man. He was born of a virgin. He was born the same way you and I are born, except with the Holy Spirit's impartation there. And so that made it supernatural, and he had perfect God's blood. Amen. I remember I did the study on Easter several years ago. I mean, remember that, about how the baby is formed? And nothing comes from the man, nothing comes from the woman. Amen. And praise God, that is absolutely mind-boggling to me. It really is. Amen. Show you another scripture here. 1 Corinthians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5:7. And this spells it out very, very clearly. 1 Corinthians 5:7. And 1 Corinthians 5:7. Notice what it says here. Purge out therefore the old leaven. Now he's dealing with an issue here that was going on to a perpetrator there. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our what? Passover is what? Sacrifice for us. So Christ was our Passover. So his blood did the same thing as back in old times. The only difference was that just covered it up. Jesus Christ's blood wiped it away and took it away. Behold, the Lamb of God. This was just saying, okay, you're covered by obedience until the time comes when the sins can be taken away and washed away at Calvary. Why? The Lamb didn't sin, so the Lamb couldn't really take away their sins. But Jesus Christ, as man, could hang himself on the cross, let men cruelly crucify him, and his blood was perfect, sinless blood, one man, for mankind. And so our Passover lamb is Jesus Christ, and he was sacrificed for us. So when you look at this, number four, Christ the Passover lamb equals type, the type of Christ, Lamb of God, that he is for our sins. Now come to number five, containment. Containment. This one is really applicable to you and I. Pharaoh's pursuit of Israel equals a type of evil forces pursuing Christians. Is evil pursuing you and I? Yes. It is. And by the way, are we sometimes pursuing evil? Sometimes. So when you look at containment, Pharaoh had them locked up and they got away. And Pharaoh said, I'm going back to get you. By the way, as soon as you got saved, God gave you a new spirit, new heart, and he pulled you, spiritually speaking, out of the world. And guess what Satan said to you right afterwards? Come back. I had you for 12 years, 13 years. For me, it was 27 years. I had you for 27 years. All the memories I gave you of sin and indulgence, and I gave you these things, and now you're trying to go over here and say you're leaving me? Remember all the things that we had? And I say, yeah, remember all the trouble I had? Remember all the headaches you caused me? Remember the cars that you wrecked for me? Remember the trouble I got into with the police? No, I'm not coming back there. And so evil will pursue you. Just like Pharaoh pursued Israel even after he agreed to let them go. He said, what were we thinking? What were we thinking? Let's go get them back. Now, we're going to go over a couple things here. And by the way, we'll cover some of these things on Sunday as well. This type of evil pursuing Christians comes in a package. And y'all have heard me talk about this package before, and I'm going to give this package to you again. It's a mindset that Satan wants to give you, that you have before you get saved. It's a mindset. And if he can get this mindset stirred back up in you, he's got you. Anybody knows what this mindset is? I call it the five what? M's. Anybody know what those five M's are? And this is the mindset. Movies is one. Magazines is another. Music is another. Media is another. And there's one last one. Money. Money. It's movies, music, magazines, media, and money. That is the area that he wants to put his mindset in, and he wants to give you that mindset. Because if he can give you that mindset, that evil now will begin to permeate your mind, and you will begin to operate off of the mindset you have been given. Amen. How many good folks out there are following Oprah Winfrey and after her crystals? I'm not saying that she's a bad person, all this, but some of the things that she's preaching is terrible. It's ungodly. And it will get people onto a religious road, not a righteous road. I'm not saying, you know, go and chuck everything that got Oprah on it. I'm just saying you got to watch out for the mindset that she wraps up in what she presents to you, because it's been presented to her. Amen. Hey, a lot of these NBA stars and Major League Baseball player stars and hockey players and all the rest of these NFL, they have a mindset. These rappers. What do you think about when you see a rapper? What was the one thing that stands out that they have? Gee. Well, many of them are thugs. Not all of them, though. But what stands out that they have? Jewelry. I mean, they'll have rings here, and they'll have jewelry, so much jewelry about walking like this, you know? And they'll have all this stuff and up here. And they will have gold. They got gold teeth. Gold, glass, everything is gold, like they got the Midas touch or something. And young people see that and say, wow, they've got gold and they've got a flashy car and they're popular and I'm a nobody. Hey, that's why it's good to know who you are in Christ, because in Christ you're everybody you need to be. But a lot of these guys get hooked up on that mindset. Well, if I'm like that, and I'll have people and prestige and power. And Satan packages this mindset up, and these young children get involved in this mindset with this movies and this music and the money and the media. Hey, folks, it's so dangerous. Now, if you've got internet access, you can get to any pornographic site you want. Any. And I see kids this size with cell phones. And all they got to do is push the wrong button, and guess what's going to come and pop up in their face? Pornography. It's going to pop up. And if there's no adult around, the sinful mindset is going to engage and allow them to indulge, and now their mind is warped on things that it never should have been. So this pursuing of the Christian, it comes from this mindset that Satan wants to give us from media and money and movies and music, and he begins to paint a picture. That's why Romans 12, 2 is so important. Turn over there real quick. Romans 12, 2. And again, is there anything wrong with the phone in and of itself? No. Just like there's nothing wrong with the television in and of itself. There's nothing wrong with the DVD player in and of itself. It's what I allow it to do. It's what I allow the computer to bring to me. It's what I allow the magazine to put into my mind. Romans 12, 2 says this. Well, notice verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, we know this already, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, give yourself to God as a sacrifice. Normally, a sacrifice is dead. Can't do anything. But he said, you're a living sacrifice. You're dedicated to God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How am I going to do that? And be not conformed to this world. By the way, that's what the world wants to do, is to conform you. What is the difference between conform and transform? Jerome? Yeah, that's good. That's good. By the way, is this water transformed into the cup, or is it conformed to the cup? It's conformed. It takes on the shape of that which is poured into. So in other words, what Satan wants to do, he wants you to come into the world so that he can mold you, so that he can shape you. He wants to get your mind so that he can get your mind, and you step into his territory and you fall into his mold. And so if the world is shaped like this, guess what? You've got to fit into that shape. If the world is this shape, you got to fit into this shape. If the world is this shape, you got to fit into that shape. So whatever it is that he wants you to do, he'll say, step into my world and let me mold you. Transformed is just the opposite. Transformed is metamorphosis, like the cocoon, how the caterpillar goes up on the tree, my grapefruit tree of all places, and eat up my leaves, and then has nerve to spin a web and come out looking good. But I don't bother him. Amen. I have every intention to do so, though I'm like, you ate up my leaf. But he goes in there, a slug-like looking thing. How many of y'all like looking at caterpillars? You know, they inch along. They get there and munch on my leaves. I went out there and looked at them one time. I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You should have preached
them. I need that leaf. He's thinking, I need it too to survive. Amen. Ate the leaf up, and then he went over there and laid on one of the branches, and then turned the same color as the branch. Then next thing I know, he's this solid, hard rock thing. Then next thing you know, the butterfly starts breaking out. By the way, did you know this? They say that if you were to break the butterfly or whatever it was out, they wouldn't be able to live. They have to exercise their muscles to break out of that mold. If not, they would fall down and die. And so so if you break them out, you're actually going to hurt them. Amen. So great lesson there. And so now I'm transformed from the inside out. God's word here, he says, be not conformed to this world. He said, don't fall into the mold of the world, but be ye transformed. Be changed from the inside out, like the cocoon and the butterfly. How is that going to happen? By the renewing of your what? Mind. This is a mindset game. It's a battle of God's mindset versus Satan's mindset. That's what it is. And Satan says, I've got several ways that I can get you. If my money doesn't get you, movies will. If that doesn't get you, music will. If that doesn't, the media world will get you some way, shape, fashion, or form. Or if that doesn't, I've got magazines plentiful out there that will get you, and it's going to give you my mindset, and you've got to step into my mindset. And when you step into my mindset, it's going to make you do or help you to do that which you really don't want to do. Why? It's all about your mind. And Satan knows that. And God knows that. That's why he says over and over again, renew your mind, renew your mind. How many of you guys say that to 27, age 27? Ms. White, how old are you guys say?
I think I was almost
Almost 30. Bev, how old are you? Roughly?
My
40s. 40s? Amen. Anybody else over 27? Gee, do put your hand down. David?
I was saved at
37. Amen. So those of us that got saved later in life, guess what? We had more of this mindset ingrained in us. You know, praise God for these children like Terrell, and G2 and Josiah, who are being raised in a Christian home. They don't have as much as we had ingrained in us. That mindset was drilled into us, and it was drilled into us, and it was drilled into us. And then we got saved. God began to give us a new mind. We thought, wow, this is different. This is different. You know, my wife went to the University of Arizona. It's a secular college. She used to talk about how they should treat Christians down there. Tasha had the privilege of going to a Christian college where they don't do that as much. But guess what? The same way they heckled at the U of A, you've got hecklers at West Coast as well. Am I right, Tasha? You got people that come in there that will heckle people trying to live for God. Can you imagine that? You go to a Christian college, you get heckled for living right because you're living more godly than someone else. But it happens wherever you go. Wherever you go. So this mindset here is like this evil force pursuing Christians, and Satan has packaged it into the movies of the world, the music of the world, the magazines of the world, the media, and the money. And we praise God for these Christian publishers like the ones that did The Facing of the Giants and the Flywheel and those type of movies. I hear that the new one they just made now is, what's it? The Christian, what is his name? Pilgrim's Progress?
Oh, yeah.
Pilgrim's Progress is one as well. Now, not by, this church didn't make it though. But Pilgrim's Progress is out there now. That's the latest one that they're trying to really get the Christians to go and support. Now, if you've seen any version of Pilgrim's Progress, it's an encouragement to watch because it talks about what we go through. No, we don't have that. We've got the cartoon version. We've got another version. We sold that to the kids, and the devil scared them. So we couldn't watch this guy dressed in black. I'm like, oh, we don't want to watch that anymore. But it's actually a good movie. It really is.
No, I just play those movies.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We might play that one of these days. Amen. And so when you look at this pursuit of Israel and this containment and the devil, a Pharaoh trying to pursue Israel to get them back, the evil forces of the world are pursuing Christians. Satan can't just come out and beat you upside the head. He can't do that. But he knows that he can trap you and trick you up here to make it appeal to your flesh. Because it doesn't appeal to your spirit. Your spirit is repulsed by it. Your spirit is saying, why do you think there's such a struggle? When he comes up there and says, let's do this, and the spirit says, we don't want to have no parts with that. I like doing that, and I always used to do that. But you're saved now, and don't do it. But you gave me this, and you just don't know. Yes, I do know. And you go back and forth, and you struggle. I mean, it's like trying to do right, and Satan is constantly pulling you to do wrong. The word contrary we gave you on Sunday means this. They're opposite. Now, if I get two of the young men up here to pull my arms, guess what's going to happen in opposite directions? I'm going to pop my spine. It might actually feel good with my back, amen. I'm going to pop, amen. Hey, back in the days, they used to draw and quarter people. Who knows what draw and quarter means?
Where they take off, stretch you out in each direction, have a horse pull you apart.
Oh, they would tie you up here, tie you up there, tie you up there, tie you up there, and say, yuck! And horse was running opposite directions.
Yeah, sure.
And can you imagine how quickly you would come apart?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what happens to you and I with this pursuit of the world against us. 1 John chapter 2. Let's go over there real quick. 1 John chapter 2. So again, this pursuit of Pharaoh is what happens to you and I when we get saved. 1 John chapter 2. And notice the encouragement here, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why does the Bible say not to love the world? Why should I not love the world? What is so important about the word love? Jesus is not of the world. That's true. But what's so important about the word love that really I shouldn't do that? Yes.
Love what they do, like love the media, love the music.
It is a strong word. For God so loved the world, what did he do? That's why it says love not the world. Misty?
So, we're not to love the world because we don't worship the world.
Right. What I love, I will give for and give to. For God so loved the world that he gave. I love my wife, so I give to my wife. I love my children, so I give to my children. For God so loved the world that he gave. And so it says, love not the world, because if I love the world, what am I going to do for the world? I'm going to give for the world, and I'm going to end up putting myself back in this mold and this mindset that God tried to save me from. The equivalent will be the folks out in Egypt going in the wilderness, going right back into Egypt and said, okay, we're back.
Well, they threatened too many times.
Yeah, they did. Can you imagine? We're back. Yes, we're back. Beat us. Yeah, we'll work for nothing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll get in that mud and, you know, put that straw in there. Make another Pharaoh city. We'll do it. Okay. What rewards I get? Beat. Okay, here you go. Here, feed me. Yeah, I love that stuff. That's the equivalent. And so he says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. At that particular moment, it's not going to be in him. Why? Because he's doing for that and not God. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away. The devil doesn't tell you that part, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The devil doesn't tell you about the temporary, transitory nature of the world. But he will tell you about the fleeting pleasure. What did it say about Moses? Moses forsook the pleasures of Egypt. Why? It was only temporary. It was only temporary. So when we look at this number five, containment, Pharaoh's pursuit of Israel, the type of evil forces pursuing the Christians. But hallelujah, the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I've got the victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our what? Our faith. Our faith. Amen. As you look down there, the Bible tells us over and over again, our faith is what's going to get us the victory. Our faith is going to give us the victory. Our faith is going to give us the victory. So we've got to believe God is going to do what he said he was going to do. God did not bring Israel all the way out in the world, bring them out of Egypt to leave them. He wanted to be their God. He wanted to be their Savior. Folks, evil is going to pursue you today. Evil is going to pursue you tonight. Evil is going to pursue you tomorrow. The devil knows that if he can get that mindset and stir it back, I would say 27 years. And so for 27 years, I had a mindset. And God said, now you got to renew now to repress that. You've got to renew and get more of God's word in you to get that old mindset out. And by the way, is the old mindset gone? No. You know how quick you can tell that the old mindset is not there? Put on the record that you used to have back in the days. And immediately your mind will go back to what you used to do, what you used to watch, what you used to say. See a sign of something that you used to do when you were a kid or an agency that you were involved with when back in the days. And immediately your brain will take you back memory and it'll say, this is what you used to do. And that's why the Bible says, I got to be renewed. Because the mindset danger of getting conformed to the world and thinking that way. And then once I'm thinking that way, that's half the battle. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I do that which I think about. And Satan knows that. So folks, as we close on this one, number five, type of evil forces pursuing Christians. The movies, the music, the magazine, the media, the money, that industry, Satan has a woven mindset into it that he wants to serve to you. And woe be it unto you and I if we get caught back up into that. Because then, as the scripture says, then you cannot do the things that you would. Because we're going to be torn. And we will. And folks, I don't know about you. I constantly have to be on guard for that. I'll go into a store and my son will say, Dad, you hear that music? And I'm thinking, yeah, do I hear it? And it's a song that I heard back when I was a teenager. I'm thinking, let's go. Let's get out of here. Dad, what's wrong with that song? You don't want to know the lyrics to that song. Let's go. Close your ears. Let's go. And folks, you know, it's a mindset that Satan is trying to present. But I'm so glad. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You and I can overcome. Notice, let's close with this one. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You and I, with the faith that we have to place it in God's word and believe that God's word, if we operate in it and through his spirit, will give us the victory that we need over the world. Because that mindset will be our undoing. It really will. And it is something that has worked since the beginning. By the way, you know how Adam and Eve fell? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Nothing new under the sun. And guess what works for you and I? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What is it? It's a mindset. It worked then, works now. And so the only defense that we have is we've got to renew our mind. As I share with you some of the email on Sunday night about the extraordinary biblical answers to the ordinary biblical questions, you'll see a mindset that this individual has. And it's amazing. I was there. And I understand it. And that's scary that I was there. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Amen. So leave here knowing that you and I have the victory. Eve was going to pursue us, but we had the victory. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the word of God, Lord. Thank you for what we have in the Bible, the word of God. And Lord, we know that evil is going to pursue us as Christians. Lord, we've got to keep under wraps the word of God and make sure that it's hidden in our hearts. We may not sin against thee. Lord, thank you so much that you've given us the victory. It's our faith in the word of God and the Son of God. And thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit of God to operate. Lord, I pray you guide us and direct us. When we leave here, we'll be hit up for that mindset, try to get restored and renewed, Lord, to that old mindset. Lord, help us to be restored and renewed in the mind of Christ and not the old man that used to be there. Lord, he's pursuing us, but we know that we have the victory. Watch over us, Lord. Help the ladies now as they plan and prepare for this Saturday. It might be a blessing and encouragement. Help us with personal outreach day as well, Lord, to be creative in our efforts to reach someone for Christ Jesus. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, ladies, you're going to be next door with Mrs. Dawson in the auditorium. Men, we're going to be over here.